keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking, but if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Come on, Simple Church, let me hear you one time. Come on. See, I need it today, man, and there's another group that needs it. Believe it or not, Greg Walker, Daniel Nelson, and Cora, Greg's daughter, actually wrote that last song. Come on, give them a little love on that. That's a little original. Pretty cool, man. Working on some writing some great worship songs, but I just am very, very thankful that you are in the room today, that you'd come and hang out with us. I know exactly how it is out there in the real world. It's not easy getting here. So turn to whoever you came with. Say, dude, we made it. Come on, give them a little love. Say, we made it. We made it. And then I want you to be honest with them. Say, what Justin's is about to preach on is going to be hard today, but encouraging, okay? Now you go, well, Justin, what do you mean? Well, I've been working on this message for, I don't know, maybe 6 months. And the reason I say I've been working on it for 6 months, because it's really probably a year and a half in the making. And I have thought a lot about this because I have personally been struggling through a lot. So one of the reasons that we do things like last week, a do-good day of taking out donuts to everybody. So by the way, can you give yourself a little round of applause for that? Y'all did a great job going out there and loving on people in the community. It's because it's a way for me to get my mind right. And so we got to do it over in Dallas, and it was great. It was phenomenal. So I was thankful to get outside of the walls of my world and get into someone else's world and understand and see that appreciation. So that was a big deal. Also, Brian Reed spoke while I was gone. Can you give him a little love too? Come on, get a little B. Reed. Okay. Now, why I say all that is usually I'm right here. I'm giving messages, thinking through it, having a little fun, trying to inspire you, trying to make it relate to the culture and all that. But this message has really been going on for a while. And particularly while I was off doing Larry and Luana's wedding, by the way, here's a picture right here. Give them a little love. They got married down in Orlando. Drummer and KTBS, so just had a great time down there. But it during this time off with Larry and Luana, it really kind of sat on me heavy. And when it sat on me, I told Angie, as far as this message, I was like, man, it's just getting me. I got to get this out. She's like, that's cool. You got time, you know. And it actually worked because while I'm down there, it hits me is what everybody thinks of a preacher. They're like, what's a preacher's job anyway? You know what it is. It's weddings and funerals, right? You do a wedding. And then, of course, the next part of that is the tough part. But I want to go ahead and just say this up front for everyone that's married. You already know this. There's death involved in both. Can I get an amen on that? All right. Weddings and funerals, you know how it is. You're like, man, you got to die a little bit if you're married with somebody, loading the dishwasher or whatever it is. It's like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to help with this. And God always calls us to, hey, just sacrifice, just serve a little bit. And honestly, as I've been working through the whole idea of weddings and funerals, it really hits me because I couldn't be here with some of the most tragic circumstances and situations going on in a long time. Because of doing a wedding out of town, there were circumstances where a bunch of friends lost the battle on this side. And it is a struggle when you're not able to be here. It's a struggle when you want to be able to love or you want to be able to help. And while I was gone, I missed a bunch. So I pulled a picture, just so you kind of have an idea, of some of my friends. And these are all personal friends. I mean, they've been in the church or they've impacted my life in one way or another. And when you start looking at the various ages of the individual, some people, when it gets down to like Coove's age, as I've told you the story, if you're full, you know, he's like, he's had a full life. But then you look at Ryan, it's like, man, just seems too quick. And all of us struggle with that, but I want to just be transparent and tell you this pastor struggles when you are bombarded with funeral after funeral after funeral. Well, then at the same time, another funeral that I missed was the Rogers, and this is Philip's dad, and we built the St. Jude house in this area for years and years. A huge guy of giving back, just a phenomenal guy too. So I could go through, these are just four, and there's probably, seriously, about three or four more that all happened in about a week and a half. But while I was out of town, when we were delivering the supplies down to South Louisiana, another phone call I received was from my long-term friend, Bobby Stevenson. And Bobby's dad, Wayne, which I've known forever, he passed away. Here's a picture of Bobby and his dad. And I've known Bobby. We were in the clubs together back in the day, doing exit and music and all that stuff, all the way to the First Bossier Church and just been lifelong friends. So I've been involved with this family. And so the closer you get to all of these people I feel close to in one way or another, it just hurts. And then this next picture is Zoe. She's in the church, and I saw Zoe. This is her grandpa. So when you start seeing a child or a teenager mourning the loss of someone who's meant so much to them, you get it. It just begins to mess with you a little bit. And while I'm down there, all this is going on. So you are no stranger. You're living in the same world, but it seemed like during this time, some of them were really messing with me. Ryan being one of them, being young, and I had gone up and prayed with him in the COVID unit, held his hand, and couldn't be there. Brian was able to be there, and I thank Mark Rohde for being able to handle and doing all that. I mean, because there's so many good people just trying to figure out how we can love and help people through this, because it's messy on this side. It's ugly. It's difficult. And while I'm down doing a wedding, because it's the wedding, that's the yay of the moment, all these funerals are stacking up. So, man, it's messing with my mind. Then on top of that, I turn on the TV, like, let me just get a little escape. I'm not going to have to think about all that. I turn on the TV because it happened to be around my weekend of my birthday, September 9th, September 11th. I forget, really, you go, how can you forget? I didn't forget that it was September 11th, but I wasn't aware of all of the television specials that would be on. Because we had gone out of town. We had traveled. We got to the hotel. I turn on the television, and it's just special after special. Sad story, difficult circumstances, from the first responders to the families to the kids that were in the classroom when George Bush landed here in Barksdale at Bossier. After leaving that school, you know, they were telling their story, and I'm going, man, it's just piling on top of on top of on top. And then I'm like, all right, I got to power through it, man. I'm a pastor. I got to get through it, man. I got to go. I got to make it. So then I come back from all of these travels, and I look in the newspaper, newspaper's on your phone now, old people, you know what I'm saying? But I look at my newspaper on the phone, look at the television news, and this happens this week. They start putting out these images. Over 600,000 people have passed away in the last year and a half to 2 years. And it begins to weigh on you again. That's a lot of death. Now, I've been in ministry of, 30 years or so, and in that 30 years, I've never experienced what I have personally experienced in the last year and a half. So maybe you're immune to it. Maybe you don't watch it. Maybe you're not aware of it. It doesn't even bug you. But I'm telling you, my world is kind of spinning as all this is going on, because you go into these circumstances, these situations of people that you care about or that you love or that you empathize with, and that begins to just boom, boom, boom. And I've talked to all these different people and friends, acquaintances, and they would all agree with this next statement. We really, truly, as a human being, we avoid death at all costs. We're like, man, I don't want to have to talk about death. I don't want to think about death. And I certainly don't want to go to a funeral because I'm reminded of it. Now, you do out of respect, and you do because you want to pay your last respects. You want to be able to support the family. But everyone, when you go to a funeral, there's something inside of you that just goes, ugh. It doesn't matter if you know them very well, if it's a family member, if it's an acquaintance. There's just something in that moment that is like, you want to avoid that. So then I start thinking through, because even as a pastor, when I wake up on a day of a funeral, I got to kind of get my mind right. I got to go, okay, I got to get my head into this. And I start thinking about how, as a culture, we avoid death, and we are trying our best to avoid it. So, for example, you could look on the news and you will see there's more organic food than ever being sold, which my wife, we try our best to buy organic, eat a little bit better. Obviously, when you look at this physique, you can tell it's working. But you try to take care of yourselves, eat a little bit better. Then you take vitamins, you know what I'm saying? You try to do all this. Why? Because, man, it's helping me. I got to do everything I can to be healthy, including go to the gym. You can tell, once again, I am going a lot. But all of the people that are in this great planet understand that we're trying to get as much out of this life as possible. And in this generation, more than ever, it seems to be prevalent. Everybody's kind of talking about it because we know it's out there. We know death happens, but we're trying to get everything we can before it happens. And most of the time, these things work. It actually is proven that when you take care, better care of yourself, work out, eat right, you live longer. For example, here's a little chart I've ran across for you. In 1880, the average lifespan was 39 years old. If you've already passed that, I'm at 52. I'm like, well, we're doing pretty good. You know now that it's in the 70, 78, 79 for currently. But the good news is, as they say, by 2080, you can be 100. Woo-hoo! I don't know if you want to make it, but they're saying, hey, it's possible. And then even in our culture, so it's live longer, do everything we can. Medical science, you know what I'm saying, eating right, technology, all of these things. But even if that doesn't work, so let's just say right now you've done everything you can do and then it doesn't work. You can always follow the example of Ted Williams, famous baseball player, which you may not know this, but his family and him, they believe, they actually beheaded him and froze his body and his head separate because they believe at some point down the line, this is not made up, this is not make-believe, you can look at Sports Illustrated, had a whole story on it, that they believe they'll be able to use the DNA or his body in this, you know, frozen state to bring him back some way. And I'm like, wow. I mean, you think you didn't get enough at 79 or 80, then they're thinking, hey, just freeze me because I'll be able to come back later. Then you got a guy by the name of Elon Musk. Everybody knows Elon Musk. You know, he's very popular, but you may not have heard about Neuralink. Now, Neuralink is another way that they're working on. This is not science fiction. They are actually come up with a chip, a microchip, that they place in your brain, and it downloads, somehow they're working on this, will download what you know so that after you pass, they can put it in a robot and you would continue to live. Isn't that awesome? You're like, what? This is true. He ain't just working on Tesla and space flight, man. He's figuring out how to get your brain in a robot. Now, if that ain't enough, all right, because y'all are already tripping. You're like, I don't even believe it. Go look it up. All right, let me give you the last one I found. Talking about avoiding death. We don't like it. We don't have to worry about it. We're trying to avoid it, put it off. The quest for immortality. So you got Jeff Bezos. You got Elon Musk. You've got different blood injections. All these scientists are trying their best to figure out how to prolong and continue life. Because in all of us, there's something like, man, I don't even want to think about it. As a matter of fact, on a daily basis, it doesn't come to your mind unless you've experienced it or you're going through something. Most of us avoid it that strong. But these guys are going, hey, it's happening, so we're trying to figure that out. Technology, they're putting all this stuff together. So while I'm researching all this, I'm seeing all this, and all this is coming on, I continue my thought. Because even with all of the technology and all of the eating right and exercise and everything that you can do, avoiding this and don't do this and you must do this, this is the eye-opener. There's something called the world death clock. You're like, boy, this is an encouraging message, Pastor. Good. Every 1.8 seconds, someone passes away. Every minute, 106. And by the time I get finished with this message and this whole service, let's see, make sure, yeah, right at about 6,300 people have passed away. So with all of that going on, it just keeps happening, keeps happening, keeps happening, keeps happening, keeps happening. So as I'm thinking through all of this and the reality of all of this weighing on me, I thought about three observations of looking at death. Now, every one of us will fit into one of these categories, or if maybe all of them, depending on where you are. And as I wrote these things down and started thinking about it, I think you'll understand and go, yeah, I get it. Because the first thing we do as humans, or maybe you, maybe just me, we live in denial. I ain't even want to think about it. It ain't happening. It ain't going to happen to me. I ain't going to worry about that. I ain't going to deal with it. It ain't going to happen. And so you just kind of live in denial. Don't want to think about it. Don't want to deal with it. It's not on your radar. The second group is where I live probably more than denial. I know it's going to happen because as a minister, you're constantly facing it. But this is the part where I'm at. I live in distraction. So what I mean by that, dude, I went and saw the Eagles this past Monday night again. Took my wife, the Gold Coast from Nashville, some good friends of ours, bought us some tickets. So we went and saw the Eagles. And I'm going to be honest with you. That 3.5 hours, I was distracted. Take it easy. I was like, yeah, man, rock on, son, rock on. You just kind of get lost in music, or you get lost in movies, or you get lost in your job, or you get lost in redoing a house. You get lost in restoring cars. You just distract yourself. And this is where I probably hang out the most. So when all of this is going on, in the last year and a half to 2 years, more people have experienced death than ever before in our generation. I personally have buried more people than I've ever buried. Missed funerals that I wish I could be at that burden me. See the pain of all these different people, and I'm going, man, I just want to be distracted. So the last thing you're thinking right now, I came to church to be distracted, you understand? Because you don't want to deal with it either. Okay, I get it. So then here's the third thing, and this is what really gets us. If you're not in denial, you're not distracted, then guess what happens? You get depressed. So even this pastor on the lights, I can tell you, I've struggled with some depression. When you keep getting hit time after time after time, punch after punch after punch, you begin to just get a little weary and go, my goodness. You got to remember, not everything was related to just sickness and disease that's running around the world. We had teenagers drowning. So I got to celebrate that life. But it's still heavy on you. And I'm not the family. So I think of that mom. I think of that dad. I think of the friends. You could go through all of these circumstances, and so what happens is it begins to just weigh on you. So if you're struggling with depression, welcome to the club, because, dude, there has been a lot going on. And so with all of this happening, maybe you've already found yourself, and you go, dude, I kind of deny. You don't even want to talk about it. It don't come up in your house. If a spouse, don't talk about that. We ain't going to talk about it. Or you're so distracted that it's never really thought about. Or you might be like me as well, going, hey, man, I just feel a little depressed some days. There's some days just tough to get up and get going. Well, the reason for the last year and a half, and particularly the last few months, I've been working on this message is because I'm going to give you the better option that I'm working on and have not arrived. So let me just go ahead and tell you, if you think, well, man, he's a pastor, he's figured it out. No, I'm going to be honest with you. This one I am working on, and I have a long way to go. This is the biblical option when it comes to death. Well, you go, well, what is that? It's going to be obvious, Justin. Yeah, well, if it is, let me go ahead and put it on the screen for you. It's living for heaven. Now, let me explain this when you look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Where do you get this from? Live for what is in heaven. There's another translation that says, set your mind on things above. Get your mind off what's going on around here and start thinking about eternity. Put your mind where Jesus is. And if we're all honest, including this preacher, for the most of us, heaven is out of sight and out of mind. You don't think about it. You don't really. Matter of fact, on a daily basis, you worry about your Starbucks. Right now, you're going, you wouldn't think about heaven walking here. You're like, where are we going to eat after this? That's what you were thinking about. You're thinking about what time's the game kickoff. He better be quick today because I want to watch my team. We kind of think about what's going on right now. Are you thinking about your job? Hurry up, man. I got things to do. I need to clean the house. I got to do this. Because we focus on this earth. We certainly don't think on heaven. So when you go to a funeral, a good pastor, somebody reminds you of a couple of things like, hey, man, remember, because in that moment, you need the hope. But let me give you the revelation for my life. Let's not wait on the next funeral to start figuring out how to live. That starts today. This is our opportunity. This is your opportunity. And this is what I have been working on and still not there. So it's going to take not just one message, but some real effort to go, let me get my mind right. Now, why do I say that? Philippians chapter 3, you ready? Their mind, I should say our mind, is set on earthly things. I think that's obvious. News, work, kids, relationship, whatever it is. But the writer goes on to say, but our citizenship, where we're supposed to be focused, where we're going to be, is not on this earth, but it is where? It's in heaven. So on a daily basis, do you think about that? No, man, no. Most of the time, you're worried about your house on earth. You're worried about your car on earth. You're worried about your kids on earth. You're worried about everything on this earth. And we all get lost in that, including me. And so in the midst of all that, we live in denial, or we get distracted by all that stuff, or we begin to feel depressed. Now, why does that happen? Well, because in the midst of everything happening on this earth, you're surrounded with politics, which divide, power hungry. People are grabbing at this, and I want this company, and I need that contract, and you shouldn't do that, and I'm going to have my way, and you're not going to have your way. Jobs, money, careers. Man, we just start, I got to do this. If I can't do this, we ain't going to do it. I need this. All of us are guilty of it. Then you have sickness. Every once in a while, somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, which used to be the thing that kind of gets your attention, or someone close to you. All of a sudden has to go to the hospital for something's going on, and now it kind of gets your attention, then the next thing you know, and then, yes, occasionally someone dies, and you're going, man, all of this has got my mind set on everything going now. And because I'm a kid of the 80s, anybody from the 80s in here? Come on, where you at? If I think of heaven, Here's my first, I don't think of like Jesus. Here's my problem. This is what comes to mind when I think of heaven. Are you ready for it? Go ahead and go back in time with me. Hit it. Go ahead and get your lighters up. Turn it up, son. You got to have some volume on Brian Adams, dog. Come on, man. Give him a little bit. Come on, son. Anybody remember this song? Isn't it ironic that Brian Adams had a room full of TVs way before there was no audiences? There it is. There it is. Thank you, man. Thank you. Get your light up. This is what we do. In our culture, it's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about heaven is the perfect woman, the perfect man. And y'all know they don't exist. Can I get an amen on that? You're like, oh, man, heaven is, man, if I can just find the right one, if I can just get the right job, if I can just live in the right, it's like this earth. That's what Brian Adams said. Heaven is, man, I finally saw or I experienced, and God, I'm in heaven. And that's kind of what we do. We think about that. Now, for me, another part is music obviously influences me. Songs come to my mind. But it's also heavenly places. And I don't think of heaven. I usually think of earth. I'm thinking like, just get me this right here. Not the sky, but the beach. Come on, throw it up there for me. Yeah, I'm like, this is it for me. If I could get out of here, I could be distracted. I could be not thinking about everything that's going on. Just let me lay on the beach, man, and just, I got to get away from it all. Now, this past week, as we went over and did Do Good Donut Day in the North Dallas area, something I had never done, I went into heaven again. I don't know if y'all seen this, but this was heaven, y'all. I got to tour. I just want to rub it in one more time, son. And then if you're going, that ain't heaven, brother, Joshua, that's hell. Heaven for me, because let me tell you something. Just when you think, no, it's really not. I was walking through there. We got to do the tour, and I found the gates of heaven inside of it. I'm going to prove it to you. Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders locker room right there. I walked in there and said, oh. I was like, yes. Angie's like, you are so wrong. But you and I both know. That's kind of the way it is for us, isn't it? Boy, if I could get that house, if I get this car, if I get that woman, if I could get him, if I could get, it's like we focus on the earth. So then when I go back and I know I'm a pastor and I'm trying my best to live for Jesus, which I mess up way more than I get it right. So I look at Colossians 3, and this will trip you out. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life, the writer's kind of going on. It's like, hey, man, are you serious about following Christ? Are you serious about what you believe that, hey, because Christ died, you are now born again? When you give your life to Christ, you've heard the phrase. Grew up in the South in the church, you know, it's like, I am born again. Okay, well, that's what he's talking to. He's like, hey, man, I've been resurrected with Christ. Then he goes, this is the best part. Well, then act like it. This is what trips me out. So I get back, and not only do we have all of the death and all this other stuff going on, there's division in churches. There's people tearing people up. There's people talking bad about this person. There's people, and they're supposed to be the Christians. And I'm like going, man, dude, are we serious? Or are we just going to act like, I mean, come on. We playing a game here? Because then it goes this. So here's the deal. Don't shuffle along with eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Anybody else guilty? You know what I'm saying? Like you get so involved in your stuff, this earth. You've never even thought about heaven unless Brian Adams came on the radio. You've never even thought about heaven unless you go, man, if I can get a vacation, if I can just get away, man, that's going to be my heaven. He's like, no, this is the problem. Dude, you're so absorbed with everything right in front of you. And then he continues. Look what he says. Look up. Quit walking with your head to the ground. Just, man, this is it. Look at all this junk going on. He says, look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. Where is Christ? He's in heaven. And that's where the action is. It's like we think it's so action-filled down here, all this stuff's going on. He's like, no, you don't understand, dude. This place right here is nothing compared to what's there. And I'm going to be honest with you, it trips me out to even say it. Because although I believe it, it's still so distant, it's still so far away, and there's moments that I doubt it. I'm like, all right, God, help me, man, because, man, I am really getting it handed to me right now, and I feel like, I don't know. And then it ends with where I believe we should be today. See things from whose perspective? From Christ's perspective. See, we're so consumed with our perspective, with the things that you experience, the things I experience, dude, it can throw you off, especially when the church is supposed to be acting a certain way, or Christians are supposed to act a certain way. And let's all be honest, dude, it's fallen and it is broken. And on this earth, we're giving it a shot, but some of them ain't listening. And sometimes that's me that ain't listening. And when we mess up a relationship, or you say something you shouldn't say, or do something you shouldn't do, and then people go, well, that's the church, and then I'll never go there, I'll never be a part. And next thing you know, the enemy's like, I got you. Because his whole plan is simple. Just get all of us so focused on the earth that we miss what we're really supposed to be living for. And if I can get you distracted, if I can get you depressed, if I can get you to live in denial, to not even think about it, not even hope for it, not even plan on it, and your perspective becomes your reality and you're just stuck in it and your head's to the ground and you're walking, and think about who we are, think about how you live, think about how you raise your kids, think about what's important to them. Think about what you teach them. Do you ever tell them, man, hey, we're living for heaven. Don't put your stuff here on this earth, man. Just remember, that's just where we're going. No, the only time we typically do that is when Papa's in the casket. And you don't want to look at it, and you don't want to deal with it. And so you turn the channel if you see it on TV, or you say, just come on, walk on, walk on. Don't look. He's not in there. Don't work on it. Don't look at that. And Jesus is going, hey, let me tell you something. Let me give you my perspective. So if you're like me, I'm like, well, what's Jesus' perspective? You ready for this? John 14. Don't let this rattle you. This is Jesus, the Message translation. I love it. He's like, hey, man, don't be troubled. Don't be tripping out on this. Let me just break it down for you. You trust God, don't you? I'm like, most of the time, Jesus, I'm trying, but I ain't quite. I'm most of the time, he's, well, then trust me. He was talking to a Jewish culture that God was the thing, man. God was it. It was the center of the Jewish culture. Now, supposedly in the Christian world, it's Jesus, but let's all be honest. We don't always trust him. We're not really sure. And Jesus is coming out and he goes, let me tell you why you need to trust me. Because there's plenty of room for you in my Father's house. So when you're thinking about this planet, when you're thinking about this world, you're thinking about your stuff, he's like, hey, I want you to just go with me for a second and get your mind off of what you're experiencing here. And I want you to focus on Daddy's house. And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, dude, you think you've stayed at the nice hotel? Jesus said, hey, man, hey, homie, let me just go ahead and tell you something. I'm HGTV today. I'm putting together a room for you that's going to blow your mind, and I'm going to get it ready. And if I go and get it ready, I promise you I'm going to come back and take you so that you can live where I live. Where does Jesus live? So if you're thinking about, like, why does it matter? He's going, let me give you some hope today. When the contract don't go through, when the sickness comes in, when you've had the divorce, when everything's falling apart, he's like, hey, man, don't let this earth get you down. Don't get so distracted and so focused on what you see going around that you forget our other place, our citizenship, where we're supposed to be going. Because heaven is Jesus getting your room ready. Heaven is like, man, let me just tell you what I'm preparing for you. Now, I know for some of you, you're trying to wrap your head around that still. Because, man, me too. But this is what I love about Scripture that's thousands of years old, that stayed together, that is here to give us hope and remind us that there's only one that has overcome the grave. So if you're going to kind of go like, I wonder if I should trust this guy or not, let's go with the guy who defeated death. I'm going to kind of side on that side. And when he defeated death, this is what he was telling them. Because the disciples are like, hey, man, we want to go with you. He said, you can't go right now. Go look up John 14. He said, but there'll be a day that you're going to go. And then here's the question. If Jesus is getting our room ready, are you ready? Now, I'm going to give you old school scripture that you've probably grown up and saw at the football game. Yay! John 3:16. God so loved the what? Remember that. God so loved the what? Remember that. So much that he gave his only son that anyone, you talking about the best part? Anyone who believes in him. So I don't care who you are, I don't care how much money you have, I don't care when you went to school, I don't care what color your skin is, I don't care what your background is, anyone who believes in him, this is the best part, shall not what? Do you understand why this matters for your kids, for your family, for your loved ones, for your friends? It's because there's going to be a funeral. And we're all going to walk into this funeral, and maybe, if I'm in town and I can do it, you go, hey, Josh, when you do my, I'll be glad to. And we sit down and we talk about all the life and the accomplishments and the things that you did, because I love to involve the person in the story of the funeral. But then when it comes down to it, it comes down to in the end, but did he or did he not trust Jesus? Does he know why? Did he go to church, not did he sing songs, not did he have Bible studies, but did he trust Jesus? Because if he did, you have eternal life. So that we come back and go, you know what, dude, this ain't the deal breaker. So we can come in and go, hey, let's be reminded. So the weird part of being a pastor is I'm reminded every time I do a funeral to go, get your head right, get your head right. And I'm telling you, if I'm struggling getting my head right, you hadn't attended enough funerals to get your head right. Because me and you, what we do is we focus on the earth. And Jesus kept telling us, it's about eternity. It is not about now. It's not about your 78.9 years or your 100 years or your brain in a chip put into a robot. That's not it. It's about eternity one day. And so Jesus was always trying to help. Go look at the scriptures over and over again. When I tell you he was always trying to help, I'm going to give you some examples. When you look at the scripture, you will see not only this, but in Matthew chapter 6, don't save treasures for yourself here on earth. How many of we are all guilty of that? Dude, we're working hard for what? For stuff. We're all guilty, so don't look around. Don't elbow him or her. Just go ahead. That's me. Okay, I feel it. That's me. Because your pastor would say the same thing. We get hung up on earth stuff. So he says, hey, don't store up your stuff here on earth. Instead, save your treasures where? Why would he tell us to save treasures in heaven? Because, just like we already know, stuff on earth breaks down. I mean, man, you're going to have a car that's going to break down. I got a 1976 boat that ain't ran in 2 years. Can I get an amen on that? Still out there, collecting dust. I mean, stuff raining on it. I'm like, man, I have an ATV in the back that's broke down, just ghetto, son. Barely won't do anything. I still got it sitting back there, and it's rusting and falling apart. You can probably go through your list of everything else. And he's like, don't store up treasures here. Put them in heaven, because this stuff on earth, moss destroy it, rust gets it. This was Jesus going, hey, dude, I'm trying to tell you, focus on heaven, focus on heaven, focus on heaven. I'll give you my favorite scripture when I do a funeral. People go, well, what is that? 2 Corinthians 5:2. And you know why? Because I'm tired. Any old people can't get an amen. I work with my boy Putt down there in South Louisiana. This is no exaggeration. Does restoration, helping people. And we went down there. I went down there for just a little bit. Gave him one night. One night just about put me in the grave. I thought y'all going to do my funeral. I couldn't walk. My hamstrings are all tight. My back was hurting. Why? Because it was hard and I'm 52 years old. And so then this hits me. But now we are tired of this body. Can I get an amen? I'm tired of my body. I'm tired of how tired I feel. My joints hurt, man. This hurts, that hurts. And I'm only 52. So if you're 70, you're like, dude, just hang on, partner. Hang on. You get in your 80s, you're like, you don't know nothing, boy. So then he says, so we want God to give us our heavenly home. So what is the whole thing? It's like, hey, listen, man, you're fighting so hard to stay in shape, eat right, and do, but it's going to wear out, dog. It don't matter how much surgery you get. It don't no matter how much you eat. It all gets old. It all breaks down. That's the way the world is. That is the earth plan. Now, if you really want to be discouraged, go get you a passport picture. You go, what? I got to get a new passport picture? I look like I'm dead. I had so many bags in my, I tried to smile, you know, because it makes you happy. And they said, do not smile. I'm like, dude, I look 105. And you can't fix it. There ain't no fix. For the rest of my life, when I go into other countries, they'd be like, dang, man, you close, bro. You close. Hope things work out for you while you're down here, because you that close, dog. But you know what's going to happen? I just started thinking, when I get to heaven, I found my picture. This is it, dude. This, there it is, baby. Come on. Angel be hunting for them digits once again. She'd be like, hey, where you at? Holla, holla. Put that jumpsuit on. Come talk to me, all right? Because this is what we're all, man, let me get, you know, whatever, liposuction and lasers. And I looked in the mirror this morning. I had these bags under my eyes, and I'm thinking, no wonder all these people go get fixed. Because, dude, you look rough. Hair falling out, fat, too many Little Debbies. Quit giving me Little Debbies for my birthday. Just really, thank you, but it's, I just keep eating. And they're not organic. I did look that up. They are not organic. So, all of this to say, what are you focused on? How you live? Like me, you probably hung up. So I got more good news about heaven, though. And if you really want to know simple church, hang on, because I'm fixing it. When you don't understand the simple church, I'm going to tell you my heart. I'm going to tell you what we've been trying to do for 14 years and what I will do until the day that I die. And there is a reason. And I hope I get a little bit more life, but hey, if it calls me home, it calls me home. But let me tell you why you got to wake up and why your kids need to be taught and really grab a hold of this. Because at the end of the Bible, in the New Testament, there's a book called Revelation. Specifically, let's look at Revelation chapter 7. He who sits on the throne, that is God. It is speaking about heaven. The one that is on the throne, Jesus himself on the throne, he will protect them with his presence. Then you go, Justin, why is that important to you? Because I live in this world that's broken, and this is the statistics that I see. Over 10 million people are abused by a spouse. When you get home and you see the news of Gabby, the girl that's lost and beaten and all this other stuff, and you see, you know, you're going, you want to know why? Because we have a God in the form of Jesus who said, I'm sick of it too. And when you finally get up to heaven, I promise you, when you get here, I protect you just by my presence. So when I see this, I go, okay, there's one thing. How about child abuse? When you start thinking about the kid after kid after kid that are abused and beaten, and you start going, hey, listen, Jesus, I'm ready for heaven. Don't let me get hung up on this earth. Why am I hanging on to it so hard? Why do I gotta have it so bad? When the truth is, he says protection is found in heaven. It continues on, Revelation chapter 7, 15 through 17. Never again will they hunger or thirst, neither nor sun nor any scorching heat will burn them up. Let me tell you something. You don't like looking at it. I don't like looking at it. But this is the reality for many people in this world today. Look at it. So when Jesus says, let me tell you why I'm going to fix it. Let me tell you why heaven's going to be made right. It's because one day I'm tired of it. And because of sin and because of the fallenness of this broken world, and you're sick of it too, if you'll be honest. But let's all get real. You deny it. You get distracted. Or if you focus too much on it, man, it begins to knock you down. And so you begin to battle with this. And Jesus is like, nah, get your head right. Because one day, I'm telling you, there will be no more hunger. So when we're going down and drilling water wells, this is why we drill water wells. This is why I give you the opportunity to feed people, whether they're in this town or around the world. It's because these are the realities that are going on, but you don't want to look at it. We live in America, the greatest country, and you still that bad mouth it. And you still don't like this person and that person fighting, arguing. Here's what Jesus is going, I'm tired of all of it. And Jesus said, and one day, I'm going to make all this right. No more hungry, no more thirsty. And this one's going to bug you a little bit. I'm fixing to just drag. Oh, he got me right here. Because this is it. When you're making your comments to your kids, and when you make your comments about those people who are down at the border, and I can't believe this is what's happening, I want to remind you of one man named Jesus. And I want to remind you of what the book of Revelation says. He says, one day, I don't like it either. And one day, I'm going to make it right so no one has to burn up. Why are they under the shadow of the bridge? Because the sun is hot, and when you have no home, and you have no way to protect yourself, and you have no food, and you have no water, it doesn't matter. You go, well, they shouldn't have come here. It ain't no better where they came from. I've been there, going again the end of this month. And here is the challenge, to get our head right, to go, Jesus, what do you want us to do? Because he says in the end, he makes it right. He's going to say, no more hunger, no more thirst, no more getting burned up by the sun. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because we can't fix it. There is no government that can fix it. And the simple church is trying our best to do everything that we can to represent Christ and not get hung up in politics and BS. I had to really gear that down. Y'all better thank Jesus right now. Because that's what we do. We fight for pride, for what we think. Well, this is what I think. I'm like, listen, man, I'm guilty just like you. Let's just stop and go, Jesus, what do you want? Revelation 7, 15. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Why do you go do good donut day? Why are you going to do this? Let me tell you why, because this is what we see. It's not your world. If you don't go see it, if you don't go hang out with it, it doesn't bug you. So when you turn on the TV, aren't you tired of seeing not just this, but that? And Jesus says, this is what I'm tired of, y'all. This is why the church should not be fighting with each other and arguing. We should be rallying to represent him and be his mouthpiece, to be his hands, to be his feet, and say, what resources do we have? What energy do I have? And let me go solve some problems in the name of Christ, because he fixes problems you can't fix. But he challenges us to do the same thing. To go get into the fight, to not get distracted on what's going on this earth, but to see the need and meet the need, to go, hey, listen, forget politics, forget power. What does heaven say? This is not made up stuff. Go look up the scriptures. It's time after time, over, over. But somehow the church gets distracted. Well, I really like this kind of music. I don't care. Well, I really think the expository, line by, dude, let me tell you something. You know enough. I know enough. Let's do something. In a city that's broken, in a city that has tears going on, figure it out. Let's be a part of solving the problem. Revelation 21, I heard a loud voice from the throne. What? God's speaking? Now God's home is with his people, and he will live with them, and God himself will be with them. Let me tell you the good news. Get your theology right. It's not one day you're going to heaven. It's one day that heaven comes to earth, son. It is the fact that we have a new heaven, a new earth. This earth is destroyed. It is over. But because of who Jesus is, you have a new promise of an eternity that comes down on earth. And what happens then, Justin? He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death. Can I get an amen on that? Aren't you tired of going to funerals? Aren't you tired of seeing the brokenness? I am. There will be no more death, no more sadness, no more crying, no more pain. You know the good news? The news will be out of business. Can I get an amen on that? And the old ways are gone. And guess what? Me and you are in the old ways right now. The one who was sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. Heaven and earth is new. Then he said, write this down. Make sure you tell people because these words are true and they can be. What's the last word here? So you don't have to trust me, but trust the one who gave us all of this information for the year 2021 and beyond to say that one day Belinda Carlisle is right. Let it play right now. There will be heaven on earth. Can I get an amen on that, son? Come on. Y'all don't even know. You're like, I don't know if I can clap for Belinda or not. I'm a kid from the 80s, and what's so funny is all these lyrics are so true. Maybe, just maybe, we can have an experience, not one day, not someday, but we can start that now. And you go, how, Justin? Heaven on earth, how's that going to happen? I'm going to give you a closing challenge. Have you ever heard of this? Look at this little statement right here. Johnny Cash, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Let's all be honest and just go ahead. First off, it wasn't Johnny Cash that said it. It was a guy by the name of Oliver Wendell Holmes, who was the poet that actually wrote it. So Johnny kind of stole it, which he's my man. I'm all about it, the man in black. I'm just saying that it's been around a long time, and there's a lot of truth in that. That if you're not careful, you can be so heavenly-minded, you don't do anything on this earth. But let me tell you what God's plan is, and it involves you, and it involves this earth. And this statement right here, some people are so heavenly-minded that they're no earthly good. Because you know why? They keep just saying, well, one day we're going to heaven. One day we'll be making right. And I want to go ahead and give you a little quiz. You probably grew up hearing the Lord's Prayer. Anybody know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the rest of it? Y'all pretty good. Catholics, thank y'all for coming to church today. Baptists, pay attention. All right. Here it is. Your kingdom come. Heaven, you ready? Your kingdom come one day. Your will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. And guess what? Check your pulse. Make sure you're still breathing today. The only reason you have a pulse, the only reason you're breathing today is because he's saying, you know what? I want you to bring heaven to earth. I want you to get your head right. I want you to invest in eternity. When you start worrying about your money, you start worrying about how it's going to go, he says, let me tell you something. You can't outgive me. You can't outworry me. I'm telling you, put your worry and your money and your resources and your time and your energy into an investment in heaven. And you go, well, Justin, how do we do that? How do we do it? Well, let me tell you, you and I still have a chance to show people God's kingdom on this earth. People are watching you. They're watching me. And how do we bring the kingdom to the earth? Let me go ahead and throw it out. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven, look it up in Matthew 25, the most heavy passage in the Bible to me because of this. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about one of the day. Everybody talks, well, there's going to be a judgment. You're going to get up there, and there's going to be a movie screen of your life. I don't know where they got all that, but they married a movie screen of your life. I'm like, dude, I hope that ain't no movie screen of my life. But that's what they tell you. I'm going to tell you, no, this is a better picture. Jesus tells you it's like this. He's going to say to the people on the right, come, my Father has great blessings for you. The kingdom he promised for you is now yours. That's going to be a good day. You're like, man, we made it, dude. And he's like, hey, man, party on. Room's prepared. Come on in, it's yours. It's been prepared for you since the world began. He said, I've been thinking about you and preparing this because when I saw Adam and Eve messing up and the whole thing fell into sin, I was like, I'm going to make this right one day and I'm going to have this thing straight up and it's going to be right and it's going to be a new kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth. And then he's going to say, and it is yours because you sang great songs, because you really knew how to study the Bible. No, because you went to WMU. Most of you don't even know what that is. Baptist, y'all remember that. Everybody else, just because you did this, you did that. No, listen. It's yours because when I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. Doesn't that sound familiar, Revelation? Because when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Anybody putting the dots together? Because when I had no place to stay, you welcomed me. You think of your attitude. You think of the way we treat people. You think of what you do with your time, your money, your resources, with your heart. Because I have to. And one day when we walk into heaven, it ain't going to be about, well, man, I was really good at playing guitar. Or I really was good at, you know, selling my business. Or I was really, he's like, no, that stuff's gone. It ain't going to matter. And when I was without clothes, you gave me something to wear. Why y'all do those donuts going to the hospital? You just got to let it go. I mean, there's other people. Because when I was sick, you cared for me. And let's all be honest, none of us want to go in there. None of us want to dedicate our life to that. The ones that do, then Jesus is saying, you better remember them. I'm challenging you to do that. And when I was in prison, you came and visit me. And then this is the thing. Because you loved, because you cared, because you did something. But Jesus, when did we do this? This is all the righteous people are like, hey, man, they're looking at each other. Man, do you remember doing any of that? You're telling me that I haven't? I'm going over here because he's like, yep, that's what I'm telling you. And then the king will answer. The truth is, anything you did for any of my people, where? Here. On this earth. You did it for me. So when we went into the hospital in North Dallas last weekend, and Angie walks in, and she's nervous. She's a rule follower. She's like, I haven't been in here. This kind of freaks me out. I'm like, Angie, let's just go in and just deliver the donuts and tell them thank you. We walk in, and Angie hands these donuts, and they begin to cry. And Angie's like, God, I'm glad I didn't miss this. Because Jesus is saying, because you cared for them that are caring for the sick, I see that. I remember that. When you talk about drilling water wells, when you talk about Haiti, and we talked about taking all that supplies down there, it doesn't matter to you. Oh, clear our borders. Listen, I ain't getting into politics. I'm just telling you this. Let's try to figure out what Jesus said and do it. Because one day, this is over. This world, everything you experience is done. And I don't want you to get there and you go, man, I was at the Simple Church. My pastor never told me anything. I want you to go, man, no, we heard it, dude. And I did the very best I could to give everything that I had for something bigger than myself. And so in the Simple Church, when you look at who we are and what we're about, we don't own buildings, man. You don't have, go do it. Go wherever you want to go. That's cool. Because what I want you to know more than anything else is what I pray is that you begin to take those little steps of uncomfort to get your mind and eyes off of this earth and get them on heaven. And when you get them on heaven, he's going to turn around and say, hey, now go bring my heaven to this earth. Well, how do we do that, Jesus? By loving, by caring, by serving, by sacrificing, by meeting the need. And so it won't be about gathering to sit in the church and go, man, I like that song. I don't like that song. That message was for me. It wasn't for me. It would be that when you're faced with the death of a loved one, when you're faced with your own mortality, you begin to go, man, I prepared for this day my whole life. Dude, I have been waiting for this moment. Dude, I can't wait to get there. I finally get to get rid of all this other junk. And all this time on this earth, all I kept doing was trying to give Jesus to all these people. And how did you do that? By taking care of the least of these. By taking care of people who are taking care of other people. Now, next week, this ain't going to be a shocker to you. Some of you go, well, I probably should have done the donut. And then you're elbowing your husband. You should have got up and got the donuts. It wasn't that hard. Here's the good news. Next week, you're going to the revel. Oh, y'all just going to the revel because there's a crappie fish tournament in here and y'all ain't got a building. Ding, 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 ding. No, let me make sure you get this. I thank God for people like you that go, dude, it ain't about gathering in a building somewhere. It's about changing the world that we live in. And when we gather to go out there to build this art project, to put all the stuff in, if you're a business owner and you want to help us by buying some gift cards, please do that. We're going to fill this beautiful work of art that will be at the Revel for the entire week, that any first responder, any doctor, any nurse, any hospital staff can come by the entire week, and they're going to get handwritten notes from who? From you. Well, how are you going to do that? Next Sunday. I need you to show up. Not because the music's going to be there, although the band's going to be there, we're going to play. Not because there's a great message, I will give you a message. But because it's your chance to show your kids. It's your chance to get in there and go, hey, man, let's go out and do something for somebody else. And what do we do in the Simple Church? We try to make it as easy and as simple as possible so that you can go away and go, Jesus, I'm trying, man. So that when you're in the middle of your depression, you know how you get out, man, you start just trying your best to say, Jesus, let me see you and let me see what I'm working for and let me see what I'm living for. And as you begin to die to yourself and put your eyes on heaven, man, it's amazing how you begin to kind of rise up out of it. So selfishly, what did I tell you? Why did I love going to Dallas? Why do I love going to Haiti? Why do I love Honduras and Africa and everywhere else? Because it gets my head right. It gets me to say, I ain't living for this earth. Next week, as simple as it is, it's going to be right here in downtown Shreveport. Show up and let's make sure we demonstrate what love really looks like to a group of people that could continue to use that encouragement. Here's a video just to remind you. Watch. Well, you probably figured it out. That's right. We're downtown Shreveport getting ready for the Red River Revel. And guess what? We need your help on October 3rd. We have a very special project that is going to take everybody participating in. I'm talking about the kids to the parents, grandparents, and it's going to be a beautiful day. Maybe it'll be just as pretty as it is today. And guess what we're doing? We're making hope boxes. That's right. It's going to be a beautiful work of art at the Revel that will be displayed the entire week. But these hope boxes will make this art project, and here's where you come in. Each box will be filled with a gift card and a thank you note of encouragement, and we need help putting all that together. So the food booths are going to come in available for that afternoon. Music will be playing with the band, but it's really about you and your family helping those people in our community. So mark your calendars, 10 a.m. on October 3rd, and come down here and help us build this art project so that our people in our community can know just how special they are. So, thank you again, and I can't wait to see you. Peace. Out there somewhere one time, come on. Kickoff's already happened. I got to get you out of here, but let me pray for you. And then I want to remind you of one thing. God, I come to you and I ask you to help us get our head right. Help us to see what really matters, to invest in eternity, to get our hearts right. And there may be someone here that has never surrendered to you, man. They don't like church, man. They've been hung up, been burnt. Don't even understand it. But God, I pray they see a picture of who you are. That God, you came and you died for us, that you love us so much. You love the world, not just Americans, not just people of our color, but I'm talking everybody, Canadians to Afghanistan to wherever. And you told them if anyone believes in you, they will not perish. God, there's a reason to put our hope and our faith and our trust in you. And God, you tell us that we'll have eternal life. And God, I don't understand all that. I just trust you. And I ask you, God, if there's someone that's never done that, they would say that, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. God, help me. God, I ask you to forgive me, and I want to start following you. And God, give us the courage, the strength, the ability to do that on this planet so that we can bring heaven to this earth through the things that we do, the way we treat people, the things that we say. And God, forgive us where we fail. Forgive us where we mess that up. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on, one time. Here's what I need you to do. If you want to donate, here's the way you can do it. You can do it online through our app. If you have a gift card, if you have a business, it don't matter if massages, it could be anything. We're going to try to fill all of these boxes up with gift cards to give away to people to be available all week. You can drop them by the office this week, but the easiest thing to do, obviously, is go online and donate, and we'll go buy them and fill them up. But you have to be here next Sunday down at the Revel. We cannot handwrite all those notes by ourselves. We need as many people as we can. And if we all do it, we'll be able to do it quickly, and then we'll go get some good Revel food. Can I get a what on that? All right. And you get to support the city of Shreveport and let them know that, man, we love them and support the Revel. So thank you for doing that. I can't wait to see you next week. I will be there at 10 o'clock next Sunday. Only one service. Until then, what do we say? Peace. Thanks for coming.